Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, I want to ask you a question this morning. If you've been keeping up with the news, you know, big news out of California was the Silicon Valley Bank failure. And that happened, that collapsed in a very short period of time and has many, many people in the financial sector worried and has lots of investors worried, has lots of just regular guys like you and me facing worry about money. Some years ago, I did a sermon and I wrote a booklet on this sermon, and it was simply titled, Are You Worried About Money? Did you know that the default setting for most of us when it comes to arrival to the throne, for a Christian, you know, there's a throne in your heart, and that's reserved for the Lord Jesus Christ, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, the scripture says in 1 Peter 3:15. But the arrival to the throne is money. That's really the American idol is money. And Jesus said this in his great Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, God and money, God and wealth. You can't do it. Now, money is amoral. What does that mean, amoral? It means it's neither good nor bad. It's not moral, it's not immoral, it's amoral. It's just a thing. It's your attitude toward money that makes it good or bad. And the Bible says, does not say that money is the root of all sorts of evil. It says, for the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many a pang. So it's the love of money, your attitude toward money. Now, Jesus, when he said no one can serve two masters, then he goes on to talk about anxiety, worry. He says, for this reason, because you can't serve two masters, for this reason, I say to you, do not be anxious. Don't worry for your life. Worry about what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body than clothing? And then he gives an illustration. Look at the birds of the air. And the birds aren't worried. They do not sow, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And he just keeps going on with this. And which of you by being anxious, which of you by worrying, can add a single cubit to his lifespan, or a single cubit, 18 inches, to his stature? Worry is a waste of time. Worry is useless. Worry doesn't solve any problems. And why are you anxious about clothing? He says, observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. They're not spending time sewing and putting things together. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Hey, when you're worried about money, what's it an issue of? It's an issue of who's on the throne of your life. It's an issue of faith. And don't you know that God feeds the birds? Are you not worth much more than they? Don't you know that when we have faith, we trust God, that God will take care of us? And then he follows that up and says, again, do not be anxious then. Don't worry then, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And then the famous passage of the famous verse, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, Do not be anxious for tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Are you worried about money? Now, it is interesting how many people worry about their finances. I ran across a study that said 66% of people worry about money, worry about finances. That's probably low. And, you know, we tend to think that if you don't have very much money, then you are worried about money, because if you're paycheck to paycheck and if you have an unexpected bill, if you have more month than money, then okay, I can understand that person's worried about finances. But lots of times people that have lots of money, they're not worried necessarily about how they're going to pay their rent or how they're going to get their next meal, but they're worried about their investments. They're worried about their stocks. They're worried about their bonds. They're worried about theft. They're worried about loss. So whether you have a lot or whether you have a little, no one is immune from worrying about money. It's a battle of faith. Are we going to walk by faith, or are we going to walk by sight? And when Jesus talked to the people on the mountainside there by the Sea of Galilee at the sermon for the great Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:6-7, he's not talking to high rollers. He's talking to regular folks. And the regular folks were worried about necessities. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we clothe ourselves? And he said, basically, hey, just trust your Father in heaven. If he feeds the birds, he'll feed you. If he clothes the grass of the field beautifully, he will clothe you. Will he not much more do so for you, O men of little faith? Now, when I was in seminary, one of my favorite professors was Dr. Wayne McDill. He was my preaching professor, and I owe so much to Dr. McDill. The first book I wrote was called Runaway Emotions. I wrote it in 2013 or so, and it was based on a book that he wrote called The Message in Your Emotions. And I asked Dr. McDill, I said, hey, can I take the book that you wrote that's mostly like a textbook and kind of adjust it to where it's just an everyman book? It's just rooted in passages of scripture. And he said that would be great. And he was glad to do it. He wrote the foreword for the book. Anyway, he had a chapter in his book about worry. I have a chapter in my book, Runaway Emotions, about worry. But I love the definition that he gives concerning it. He said this: worry is the tension or distress experienced over the anticipated loss, whether real or imagined, of some valued possession. Now, anticipated loss. That word anticipated is key because that shows us what worry is all about. Worry is thinking the worst. It's anticipating a loss. It's like a friend of mine who lived in Southern California some years ago, and he moved from Texas, and prices were so much higher, and so he spent so much money just to buy a small house for his wife and kids. And he said, Jeff, I didn't have enough money for earthquake insurance, and I was living in earthquake country. And he said, I would wake up sometimes in the middle of the night just so worried, thinking that the earthquake is going to hit and that my house is going to be torn apart and I'm not going to be able to fix it, and I can't afford insurance, and I'm going to go under, and all these negative thoughts. He was anticipating a loss of some valued possession, and that worry was eating his lunch. Now, the word worry comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word that literally means to choke or to strangle. It means to shake with the teeth, and it's a picture of a dog with an old shoe. You know, if you ever give an old shoe to a dog, they just naturally start thrashing it around violently from side to side in the efforts to rip it apart. My dogs do that. That's just instinctive. And it's a vivid illustration of what happens when we worry. That's what worry does to you and me. It tears us apart inside. It thrashes us about. It literally chokes us and strangles us. So worry, when we think about that, and especially as it relates to money, worry is a harmful thing. It's like putting sand in the gas tank of your car. It's going to cause problems to your body. Many people worry themselves into sickness. We talk about that phrase, I'm going to worry myself to death. And we think, well, no, you wouldn't worry yourself to death. But did you know that actuaries who work on insurance and things, and they look to see what a lifespan is for a person, they look at things like smoking. Are you a smoker? If you're a smoker, that's going to take years off your life. Do you exercise? If you exercise, that's going to add years to your life. One of the questions they ask to determine how long you're going to live is, do you make over $50,000 a year? If so, subtract 2 years from your expected lifespan. Isn't that crazy? Now, this was a test from some years ago, so you have to figure inflation. But what they determined was the more money you make, the more you worry, and the more you worry, the shorter your life. You really can worry yourself to death. So worry is harmful. Worry is wasteful. Worry doesn't solve any problems. That's why Jesus said, which of you by being anxious can add a single cubit to his lifespan, a single cubit to his stature, as it says, I think, in the King James. So worry doesn't fix anything. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't take you anywhere. And there's a little poem I like. I heard this from Adrian Rogers years ago. For every evil under the sun, either there is a cure or there is none. If there be one, seek till you find it. If there be none, never mind it. So there are two things you should never worry about. Those things you can't do anything about, and those things you can do something about. Because if you can do something about it, then do it. If you can't do anything about it, then quit worrying about it. Just give that to the Lord. But not only is worry harmful and not only is it wasteful, here's the thing that we need to remember. Worry is sinful. You know, when the Lord is saying three times in 10 verses in Matthew 6, do not be anxious, do not be anxious, do not be anxious. Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. That's not a suggestion. That's not a good, hey, here's a good idea. The Lord's not saying that. That's a command. Don't do this. Don't do this. Because it is a sin to worry. When we worry, we're saying, God, evidently things have gotten outside of your control. And I don't think you're going to be able to provide for me. I don't think that your promises are true. I don't think that you really can meet the needs of my life. And so I have to worry about this. That's a terrible message to send to the Lord. We need to walk by faith, as I said earlier, and not by sight. And we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, and not worry, but trust him. And just say, Lord, I know you're in charge of my life. I have set you apart, 1 Peter 3:15, as Lord in my heart, and I'm not going to worry. Now, I had a lady that read my book. She was a blogger, and she read my book, Runaway Emotions, and I talked about how worry was a sin, and she got so mad at me. She wrote a scathing thing. How dare that guy say that worry is sinful? Well, my reply was, I didn't say that. Well, it doesn't matter what I say. God says that. God says, if you worry, it's a sin. He says, just trust me. Don't worry about tomorrow. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that we worry about, all these money things that we worry about will be added to us. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm Pastor Jeff Shreve, and our subject today is, are you worried about money? Hey, don't go away. We'll be right back.
Music. Sometimes you see a win, a glimpse of God in this broken world. Preborn rejoices in the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Preborn's mission is to love and help women in unplanned pregnancies by offering them the truth to help them make the right choice by providing free ultrasounds. You see, when an expectant mom hears her baby's heartbeat and sees the image of her baby on ultrasound, she's seeing a life created in God's image, and it's a divine connection.
And I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com, or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed other retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
What could healthcare sharing mean to you? Well, if you're like a lot of people who switched to MediShare, honestly, it's a huge relief. Like for the parents of an 8-year-old girl fighting cancer, it's confidence they have in having a community praying for them and paying their medical bills so they can focus on just being there and loving their daughter. Or for a young couple getting ready to welcome their first child into the world, it's being able to be in the moment, getting to enjoy this great gift from God without worrying about medical bills. And it's a relief these days to know you can actually save some money on something. The typical family saves $500 a month by switching to MediShare. And it's a ministry. When you call them, you talk to actual humans who want to help you. So that's a relief too. MediShare has been around 30 years. It's affordable, reliable healthcare. It's a great time to switch to. Call now. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
God made His design for marriage and family absolutely clear. Unfortunately, Satan has a totally opposite view. The Marriage Family Life Conference 2023 wants to restore God's plan. July 6th through the 8th at the Cadence Bank Arena and Conference Center in Tupelo, Mississippi, strengthen your marriage and your family with Miki Addison.
The family, God's tool to advance the gospel and grow the church. This is why the enemy attacks it so much.
Israel Wayne.
The latest government statistics say dads spend 19 minutes a day with their children, and the average mom spends an hour a day. We have to have time with them.
Stephen Black.
This lust, this inordinate desire, actually brings destruction to everyone around. How do you know this? Because I used to be homosexual.
And many more. The Youth Apologetics track is back as well. The Marriage Family Life Conference 2023, for His glory alone. Register today at marriagefamilylife.net.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about this question: are you worried about money? Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." And the test for us to see, hey, am I serving God or am I serving money, is, are you worried about money? Because that's Matthew 6:24, you can't serve two masters. And Matthew 6:25 through 34 is a test of anxiety. He says three times, do not be anxious, do not be anxious, do not be anxious. Anxious for your life, anxious to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Do not be anxious for tomorrow, he ends up the chapter in. Do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, I know that some people are kind of, just by their makeup, just by their wiring, they're kind of predisposed toward worry and fear. I think it was Tim LaHaye that said he observed in people that people are going to be either predisposed to worry and fear or predisposed to anger. And if you study, you know, just human interactions, you can see and study people, you can see, okay, this person has a tendency to be a worrier. This person has a tendency to be an angry person. Doesn't mean you have to be that. It means that that is one of the things that you're going to have to overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I've known a lot of people who have that predisposition to worry and fear. They tend to have a lot of stomach trouble. Either they can't eat or they just constant problems with needing to go to the bathroom all the time. Maybe that creates problems with colitis or what have you, because they're always worried. Some people worry themselves into an ulcer and they burns a hole in their stomach because they're so worried about things. As we said at the top of the hour, worry is harmful and worry doesn't fix anything. Worry just causes you problems. So how can you live a life free of worry, especially as it relates to money? And, you know, you can say to me, well, Jeff, if you have enough money, I can see why you're not worried about money, but I don't have enough money. Hey, let me tell you my story. So I understand about worrying about money. When Debbie and I first got married, I was a salesman for Waste Management. And I was outside salesman selling trash dumpster service. And, you know, that's not a very glamorous job. And really, it's about as unglamorous as you can get, selling trash dumpster service, commercial trash dumpster service. And but I thought this can't get any lower as far as on the glamour scale. But I was wrong, because one day we added a product line, portable toilets. And so here I was selling trash dumpster service and portable toilets. I was making $18,000 a year plus a car, which was nice. And plus commission. And so Debbie was teaching school and we were doing pretty well. First married, double income, no kids. But after 6 months, she got pregnant and she worked until we had Jill in June of 1987. And then all of a sudden, I wanted her to stay home. She wanted to stay home. And so she retired from teaching to be a stay-at-home mom. And we lost half our income. And so I was really having to trust the Lord, and I was battling this worried about money scenario, because every month was a brand new month. And it's like, okay, God, I need you. You need to provide for me this month, because I can't make it on my base salary. And a company car is nice and that saves us some money, but that doesn't put food on the table necessarily. And so it was a faith stretcher for me. And one of the things about being on commission is it really teaches you to trust God. Now, it does cause you to be a little more focused on money, because you don't know what your salary is going to be from month to month. But it's an opportunity to walk by faith and not by sight. It's an opportunity to trust God. And one of the things I learned as I dealt with worry, I learned a lesson concerning my company car. And if you've ever had a company vehicle, it's a wonderful perk. Now, here's the thing about the company car. The company owns it. You don't own it. It's theirs. If you're not working there anymore, they take their car back. And the company will pay for repairs on the car. They pay for the oil change, they pay for the tires, they pay for any mechanical problems that you have. You just take it in and the company will pay for it. It's a company car. But now my responsibility as the salesman was to was to care for the car, but the company paid all the bills. Now, I had a different attitude toward the company car than I had toward my own personal car, because I wasn't paying for it. So I wanted the company car to be tip top. I was taking it in to get it washed at the car wash place on a weekly basis. I was, you know, making sure that the oils change, you know, just right on time, maybe even ahead of time. If they told me, hey, your air filter is a little dirty, it's like, well, we'll replace it. We need to have a clean air filter. This is the company's car. And so I was never concerned about anything related to the car. It was just, here's the company credit card, put on new tires, do whatever you need to do. Now, when it was my car and it was my credit card, then I was a little different with regard to the car. It's like, well, I don't know, maybe we can get some more miles out of these tires, and maybe we don't need to change the air filter. Okay, it's a little black, but I think they're all black, and you know, that kind of thing. And you just, you have a different attitude toward it. Well, here's the truth. As a Christian, everything in your life is a company car. You don't own anything. I've been bought with a price, the scripture says, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. And you don't own anything. Everything belongs to the Lord. We're just managers. We're stewards. We're those who have given the responsibility to manage the Lord's things, but everything belongs to Him. And David said, I've been young and I've been old, but I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging bread. God will take care of His own. Perhaps you're familiar with Bill Bright's contract with God. You know, Dr. Bill Bright was the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, which is now called CRU, a college ministry that spans the globe. He says this, in 1951, I wrote out a contract with God. My wife Yvonne and I wrote on a piece of paper all the things that we had in this world, all our material possessions, and we put them all on this piece of paper, on this contract. We gave it all to God, and we wrote our names at the bottom, and we said, from this day forward, we are irrevocably slaves to Jesus Christ. And we've kept that contract. Every day of our lives, we say, Lord, we're your slaves. We belong to you. And everything in his life was a company car. And he knew that God had given him the things to manage, but they didn't belong to him. And he said, once I signed that contract and gave everything over to God, then God knew that he could trust me because I was his servant. Now, do you remember what I said about worry? Worry is the anticipated loss of something of value. And when you are thinking, how does worry work? Worry doesn't work in the past. It works in the future. That's what we worry about tomorrow. We worry when we're in school. We worry about the test tomorrow. We don't worry about the test last week because that's over. So it's always a future thing. So worry is the anticipated loss. Oh, my friend, an earthquake is coming. I'm going to lose everything. And my friend in California that thought that. So if you sign everything over to the Lord, then you're not worried about losing anything. I'll give you an example. When I was 20 years old, I was in my dorm room at the University of Texas. Not my dorm room. I lived in an apartment that second year. And I'm studying for a test, and I scratch my head. And I scratch it vigorously to try and get the blood flowing as I was studying. And when I did, about 10 hairs fell out on the table. And I thought, that's weird. And then I scratched it hard again, and about 10 more hairs fell out. And then I stopped scratching, and I said, uh-oh. I mean, I used to have a lot of hair. When I was 20 years old, I had tons of hair. But I recognized at that young age of 20, I think I'm losing my hair. And from that day forward, my hair began to fall out. And I had hair in my wedding pictures at 23, but it was rapidly declining. And so if you meet anybody who is losing his hair, or God forbid a woman, that's really hard for a woman, because hair is a part of her beauty and glory. But when someone is losing his or her hair, the process of losing is excruciating. And, you know, you're having to comb your hair differently, and it's like, man, I gotta, you know, you see these guys that crank it over from the ear because they're trying to cover up the top of their head. And I never did that, but, it's just like, how am I going to wear this? And I got this big bald spot, and it just keeps more and more is going away. Well, finally, I got to the place where I said, I'm just going to take it all off. I'm going to get the razor to my head and I'm just going to shave my head. And when I shaved my head, I lost all my hair, obviously. And then I never thought about my hair anymore. I never, quote unquote, worried about it anymore. When I was losing my hair, I would see people and some friends that hadn't seen me maybe in a couple of years, and they would stare at my head because they would be like, man, your hairline, you're really losing a lot of hair. You look different. Once you lose it all, then you look the same. You come over to my house at 3 o'clock in the morning, I always look the same because I don't have a bad hair day. I don't have any hair. Everything looks the same. Here's the thing. When you are trying to hold on to your finances and your children and the things of value, and you're just so afraid of losing those things, you're going to worry. But when you give all those things over to the Lord, when you enter into that contract with God, as Bill and Yvonne Bright did, and you lose it all to Him, then you're not worried about it anymore, because that all belongs to the Lord. That's all a company car. Everything in my life is a company car, and I'm not worried about it anymore, because my Father in heaven, who loves me, who, in poetic terms, owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, all the silver, all the gold belong to God. He can pay for anything and everything. There's nothing too difficult for Him. He's going to take care of me. And if He takes care of the birds and feeds the birds, He will take care of me and my family and feed me. Are you not worth much more than the birds? Jesus said. And the answer is yes. Yes, you and I are worth much more than the birds. And our Father is able to take care of us. And we don't need to worry, and we don't need to fear, and we don't need to fret, and we don't need to be anxious. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, worry about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You'll have a peace. It may not make sense to people. It may not make sense to you. It's a peace that passes comprehension, but it's a peace that I don't need to worry. I don't need to worry that my bank statement looks so terrible. I don't need to worry about any of those things. I just need to trust God. Now, let me give you some practical tips. I put those in this booklet that I wrote, Are You Worried About Money? And practical tips to help you with money. Here are some practical tips. Number one, above all else, honor the Lord with your wealth. Give Him the first fruits of your labor. And the Bible says the tithe is the Lord's. And I've lived by this principle for a long, long time. And I give the first 10% plus to the Lord. There's a tithe and there's an offering. And the scripture is clear. Those who honor me, the Lord says, I will honor. And so if you honor the Lord from your wealth, He'll provide for you. Number two, pray before you spend. Don't make big purchases without talking to the Lord about that. And even mid-sized purchases. I mean, if you want to go to the store and get a candy bar, I don't think you need to spend all night in prayer over that. But anything that has significance, pray about it and talk to the Lord about it. Number three, live under your means. Buy a less expensive house, a less expensive car. Don't put yourself right to the margins. Number four, start whittling away at debt. Debt is a killer, especially high interest debt. And get with a Christian advisor and a financial advisor that can help you. Save for a rainy day. That's always a good idea. Refuse to worry about money. Follow the example of the birds. And get ready, number seven, to experience God, because God will do a work in your heart and life as you trust Him, as you lose everything to Him, as you look at everything in your life as a company car, and as you say, Lord, I belong to You, and I set You apart, I sanctify You, as Lord in my heart. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm Pastor Jeff Shreve. When we come back, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Give me a call and let's talk about this key question. Are you worried about money?
I can just turn that radio station on and it just comforts me. It gives me peace. It gives me hope.
AFR is sharing the love of God, and we'd like to know how that has affected you.
I just want to thank God so much for Christian radio and especially AFR.
Call 877-876-8893 and give us a minute or two about AFR in your life. Call in your AFR story today.
Keep up the good work. You're an inspiration to me.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I'm Corey, and this is my story. I was going through some financial troubles paying off my credit cards. I was paying high interest rates, and it just wasn't getting any better. And I knew I had to do something. So my mom told me about Trinity, and so I decided to call. Trinity was able to do something that I couldn't. I'm paying off my debt, I'm saving thousands, and things are really looking up. I promise you guys, you will not regret it when you call Trinity, because it was such a relief and less stress in my life, and it was the best thing I could have done for myself, because once I called Trinity, they took care of me, and I felt such a relief, a weight off my shoulders, and they are a Christian-based company. I love it.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
I'm Corey, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-788-1813.
Here are Tim and Riley Wildman for the AFA Foundation.
Riley, what is your title?
The director of AFA Foundation.
One of the best ways you can have income for the rest of your life and know that you will be supporting the ministry of American Family Association is to...
to give a gift to American Family Association and American Family Radio.
Do you also deal with people who want to leave AFA in their wills?
Yes, sir. That's exactly why they call. And that's why we also have another option besides a charitable gift annuity. People sometimes also call and do an outright gift or also leave us in their will.
Now, when anyone calls in and asked to talk to you ladies, will all of them talk in a southern accent like you do?
Yes, they will.
Call Riley Wildman at the AFA Foundation, 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We've been talking about the issue of worry. Are you worried about money? Many people are worrying right now to a high degree about money because of the bank collapse, Silicon Valley Bank. I talked to my son-in-law, who's a money guy, and I said, what was the issue? And he said there was a combination of greed, a combination of stupidity, and a combination of borrowing short and investing long, and a classic run on the bank. It was kind of a perfect storm. Kevin O'Leary, Mr. Wonderful on Shark Tank, he talked about in every banking situation, you have somebody that's not a wise fellow, some foolish guy that's doing something. And so he said his rule of thumb is you never have more than 20% of your assets at one institution. And so anyway, lots of people are concerned right now. And, you know, here's the bottom line, not to be a wet blanket, but the financial situation in America is a house of cards. America is broke. We just keep printing money. We're in trillions of dollars of debt. And, you know, you can't run, you sure can't run like that as an individual. You can't keep charging and charging and charging and charging. because one day the bills come due and you don't have any money to pay for that. That's what our country's doing. By God's grace, it's being held together. But our trust is not in the almighty dollar. It's not in the government. Our trust is in God. And God, as David said, I've been young and now I'm old, and yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his children begging bread. God will provide for his children. So we just trust him. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And I'd love to talk to you about this question. Are you worried about money? And we have Mary on the line from Texas. Mary, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you for taking my call. For years, I'm in my 70s, and I stood on God's promise, don't worry what you're going to eat, drink, or wear. But in Philippians 4:19, he also said, but my God shall supply all your need, all you need, according to his riches and glory. And I want to give God the praise for this year. January, my husband was in the hospital for a month. We live in a 116-year-old house, no insulation. We have a wood-burning stove and central heat, but no insulation. It was cold, and I ran out of firewood. But I remembered a county road guy saying you could go to the yard, and they had free wood to pick up. So I gave him a call. And I said, I'll make an appointment for my son to come get some. And he said, don't worry, where do you live? We'll deliver it. And he said, 4 buckets. Well, I thought 4 buckets of 5-gallon cans. But they dump load me a pile of wood, and it's lasted 2 months. Not only that, the next thing was heat and propane. And my husband was in the hospital. Family couldn't come out from the West Coast to visit. And his sister wanted to do something, and she bought our propane for the month of February. Not only that, 25 days in the hospital, they lost his dentures. They cost $4,000 when he got them. And the hospital said they weren't responsible, and I could not find anybody to help replace the expense. But the following week, my daughter got a call from that hospital saying they were going to cover the expense. God worked it out. I mean, from one Friday to Wednesday, they were paid for. And our roof blew off this last week in Texas on the shingles. And I told my daughter, call the insurance lady. And they said, why? Because we don't have the deductible yet. And I said, well, get the insurance lady out here. Then we'll pray about how to get this deductible. Well, you know what? We had a visitor last week. They stayed 2 nights. And when they went on their way home, he called my daughter and said, look in your drawer. You'll find the deductible check. Mm. And see, God, you know, I thank God for the washer and dryer when I wash. I thank God for the hot water in the shower. You know, we have a private bathroom, and I think of all the people in the world that God has blessed us here. And you know, God's word does not collapse. When he said, I'll supply all your need, mm-hmm. according to his riches, he owns a cattle on a thousand hills. Mm-hmm. And even though we have done without, like Paul said, whatever state I find myself in, right. to be content. Whether you got a lot or whether you got less. And one thing I tell my kids, God does not measure our success by the money we bring in. His attitude of success is different. And I mean, all my life, God has been there to provide for us when we were raising 5 kids. There's no need to worry. Be anxious for nothing but by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, make your request known unto God. All you got to do is ask, and he'll be there for you. I love God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mary. That's a great testimony. What a great word. What a great word of encouragement. God does provide for us as we trust him, as we look to him. He promises that. And my God, as you said, Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And that word according is important in there because God doesn't give us out of his riches. He gives us according to his riches. So what's the difference? Well, a very wealthy man can give you $20. That's out of his riches, but not according to his riches. According to his riches means according to all that he has. So if a rich man gives you out of his riches, he gives you just a certain amount. But if he gives you according to his riches, he gives you a lavish amount because it's according to all he has. Well, I appreciate that call. I was thinking, too, as Mary was talking, the scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, for we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. And if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. And then it says, but those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. Hey, when you're worried about money, you're not content. And so many people think this is so true, and it's so tragic. So many people think the answer to my problems is money. If I just had more money, if I won the lottery, if I had this, if I had that financially, materially, that's not the answer to your problems. You follow the people that have won the lottery and won millions and millions of dollars. So many times those people, their problems just multiply, and the friends and family, distant family, come out of the woodwork to try and cannibalize those winnings. And sometimes people will give the testimony that it ruined my life. This money ruined my life. You know, we've heard that expression that money changes people. Isn't it interesting that we have a lot of professional athletes that make all this money when they're young guys, you know, 21, 22 years old, and they have millions and millions of dollars, and they don't hold on to it. It's gone in just a matter of a few years, and then they're broke. And you think to yourself, how in the world did that happen? I think about one famous athlete. He signed a $50 million contract, and in 3 years, he was broke. And it's just like, how do you go through $50 million that fast? But it's just people being unwise with money. And we need to just trust God with money. So, Mary, thank you for calling in. Well, the number to call is 888-589-8840. And I'd love to talk to you about this important subject. Are you worried about money? And I had a testimony that I put in the booklet that I wrote, Are You Worried About Money? And it was from my sister who loves the Lord. And she was listening to this series I did on money. And she has struggled with this situation. You know, you talk about people who are prone to anger or prone to worry or fear. Well, she has that battle with worry and fear. She wrote me this. She said, Jeff, your sermon series on money has been so good for me. I really listen to what you say, and I remember it. In one of the sermons in the series, you said, if all the ways to improve a financial situation weren't working, then it's time to make some kind of a change. I thought a lot about that. How can I change? What do I change? Change jobs? She said, then God showed me what to change through your series. I have been looking at everything all wrong for so long. The remnants of my savings sit in my account waiting for tax day. I've been clinging to that money, almost terrified of losing what's left, blaming myself if I spend any out of it, even for things I need, freaking out in my mind as the balance drops below 5,000. She said, when there was the slight possibility of an inheritance check coming, suddenly I had such peace about the money I had left. I could still get my house painted and my carpet cleaned, etc. I didn't have to keep the remainder held so tightly in my fist. Wow. And then God showed me where I needed to change. A loved one's inheritance gives me peace? What in the world is that? It all comes from God. I will not cling to the remains of that money any longer. I will go to the dentist and get my teeth cleaned, knowing that God provides for me. I'm always thinking I'm irresponsible for spending money on anything that I don't have to have, like the dentist. How stupid is that? I'm clinging to the money like I have control over what my needs might be. And then she says, wow, I am free. I have let all that go, and God provides for me. What a great testimony. I love my sister, and I love to see how the Lord is working in her life. And she said, your series helped me so much. I shortened God on my tithe. She said, I've learned so much. I will never do that again. Thank you for helping me. I feel like the curtain has been opened, and now I see that which was hidden from me before. I'm very excited. I feel like I've been born again, again. Hey, it is a cool thing when you find deliverance from the worry and fear associated with money, and when you turn everything over to the Lord and you trust Him no matter what. Well, we have Sam on the line from Arkansas. Sam, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. I just had a testimony and maybe a word of encouragement for somebody, maybe. I'm 40, and our kids are 12 and 14, and we've been married about 17 years, and from before we ever had kids, we were with a very strong conviction about homeschooling our kids. And so we've homeschooled, you know, all these years, and we'll continue to do so until they go to college, if they choose to do so. But whenever we were early on, when the kids were babies, and we had, you know, told people that, you know, homeschooling was something we was going to do, there were so many people that had mentioned, man, I would love to homeschool our kids, but we just can't afford it. We would love to be a stay-at-home mom, but we just can't afford it. And, you know, when you know that it's not just a umption, but it's a calling from God, when you know that He has asked you and told you this is what you're to do with your children, there's no question about if you'll make it or maybe you'll make it. It's no matter what, we're going to make it. It don't matter if we have to sell the home and rent a cardboard box on a corner. We're going to make it because this is what we've been called to do. And at that time, I was making maybe $300 a week. And, you know, I had a couple small businesses that I'd done part-time, plus worked a full-time job. And, you know, here we are 17 years later. My wife is still a stay-at-home mom. And, you know, but there's a difference whenever you're called to do something. There's never an out for what if we don't make it? What if we can't afford it? What if one income isn't enough? It's just something that you know that you're to do. And you can, God provided in so many ways all those years. And we've even able to be generous to other people through those years because of the way He provided through so many different avenues. And it was never, I want to say it wasn't hard and you didn't have to make sacrifices, but it's the difference in knowing that you're called to do something by God, and no matter what, you're going to succeed in what He's called you to do, especially if it's something like homeschooling your kids, if that's what you're supposed to do.
Amen. That's a great word, Sam. Yeah, so there's an old phrase. It's not in the Bible, but it's true to the Scripture. Where God guides, He provides. So when we do what God has called us to do, when we're really seeking His face, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's another way of saying where God guides, He provides. And when we seek Him, we can trust Him. And so I still remember a sermon I heard about Jonah. And when Jonah ran away from God and the call to go to Nineveh, and God says, go east to Nineveh, and Jonah goes west, boards a ship, goes down to Joppa, gets on a ship headed to Tarsus. That's as far away as you can get from Nineveh as possible. He's going in the opposite direction. He's going west when God told him to go east. And so he paid the fare. It says that in Jonah chapter 1. And he went down, boarded a ship, and paid the fare. And so when you go on your own, you pay. But when you go God's way, God provides. Where God guides, He provides. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fear. We just have to trust Him. We have to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hey, are you worried about money? That was our topic today. And let me encourage you to not worry. Give it all over to the Lord. Trust Him. He is a good God. He will take care of you and yours as you walk by faith and not by sight, as you walk in wisdom and not in foolishness, and trust Him every step of the way. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things He has done for you, and God will use you as His witness. I'll be with you again tomorrow. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.